Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. It's another one of David's Psalms, and so another wonderful contrast between this world and our duties towards the Lord. And I think this world, what he speaks about really is this world being the footstool of the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Everything that we have is the Lord's. But it's very passing, isn't it? I don't know if you've noticed, verse 2, that he hath founded it upon the seas. I don't know if any one of us... People do have houseboats, don't they? And they put them... They establish them on the water. They need to make sure that their boats are watertight, otherwise they won't last very long. It's interesting that the Lord founded the earth on the waters. I hadn't really appreciated that point, and I was looking at Matthew Henry, who drew the point out that it's such an uncertain foundation, but it doesn't... And it seems as though when the land was formed, that it was divided. We know that we had one landmass and then the sea. And we know that when the flood came, you had both the rain coming down, but also the deep opening up and water coming up. So you have water coming down and water coming up. So the earth was formed on waters. And that shows that the insecurity of this world, that relying on this world, is totally pointless. Do you remember the children of Korah, when they rebelled against the sons of Korah, they rebelled against Moses, and the earth literally opened up and swallowed them. An earthquake can swallow people. You know, they have those things in America where, what do they call them, where the land opened up. They've got a name and I've forgotten what they are.
Like a quicksand kind of...
Yeah, well, it wasn't a volcano. It has a name and I've just forgotten what it is. But basically, suddenly the house opened, the earth opens and swallowed up the house. And somebody was killed earlier this year. They were literally swallowed up. So that's how insecure this earth is. And we think it's terribly secure, but it's not. Our security mustn't be in the things of this world and the things of this life. And no doubt, that's one of the reasons why the Lord founded it on the waters. But of course, whatever he founds is secure. And in Christ, we are secure. However tender, however slender the thread of our security might be, in Christ we're totally secure. No man shall snatch anyone out of his hand. So the wonderful contrast is that whatever our situation in this world, and however tenuous our existence seems to be, if it appears to depend upon the decision of somebody you don't know and can't influence, that in the Lord, our security is complete, however insecure the outward circumstances will appear. And then we've got a different emphasis and a different focus in verse 3. We move from the earth that God has established on the floods to ascending to the hill of the Lord, ascending to where God dwells. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? Again, I have to confess that this was a point picked up by Matthew Henry, but it did sort of catch my imagination, that this idea of ascending to the hill of the Lord, how many of us see the journey, the Christian journey, as ascending a hill to get to a destination? Sometimes we just see it as hanging on in there, so that we're ready for when the Lord comes and the Lord will take us. But there is a way for us to go, just as the people of Israel, to get to the promised land. They had to follow a route. They had to follow the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. There was a very real journey for them to take, and there's a journey for us to take. Yes, the final victory has been won for us, but there is, the Christian life is a journey, and it's a tough journey. The Lord Jesus described it, contrasted the narrow way that leads to life from the broad way that leads to destruction. We're on a narrow way, and if you don't like heights, it's not going to be a very pleasant journey, is it? But difficult though it may be, look at its final destination. We are, by God's grace, ascending the hill of the Lord, because we are on the way to heaven, to that eternal city. Spiritually, we've set out on that journey. We have been given all that we need to travel on that journey. We've been given the supplies of God's word, God's people, the fellowship of the saints, prayer made to the Lord. We have been equipped for that journey, and we're all on that journey. Maybe today we can say we've just stepped aside to get a drink, to get some refreshment in this meeting, before we go back and we continue that journey onwards and upwards. But who is it for, that journey? That highway of holiness that Isaiah talks about. It's for those who have holy hands. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that have clean hands and a pure heart. We have to, it's said, as our sister may recall from her law studies, that if you come to equity, you have to come with clean hands. In other words, if you're going to go to the court of chancery, where you were relying on the rightness of your cause against the other person, you weren't going to succeed if you too had done something wrong. And for us to be able to approach God, then we must come with clean hands. And how shall we do that? How shall we come in holiness to the Lord? Because we know from Hebrews, without holiness no man shall see the Lord. Well, we do that by cleansing our souls in the blood of Christ. We do that, we have that initial cleansing. We were looking at that last night from John 15, where we are all clean through the word that the Lord has spoken through us. We are clean when we are born again, when our sins are forgiven. And then there is a cleansing, there is a purifying, the purging, as it's described in John 15 verse 2. We're all going through that process of being sanctified by God's Spirit. And that person, verse 5, shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of our salvation. That ties in with Matthew chapter 5. The blessings that come from in this life, the true blessings come from the Christian, come to the Christian. They come because we have submitted ourselves to God's ways. Again, that verse that I spoke about some weeks ago, that blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. If you want to enjoy this earth, this world, then we'll only enjoy it by following the Maker's instructions. But the world has its own way of trying to enjoy itself. It seeks enjoyment without the Maker's instruction. And actually, it won't get enjoyment. It'll get passing pleasure. But that pleasure will fade away. But the Christian knows that true pleasure is found in the Lord. And when we seek first his kingdom and righteousness, then all the things that we need are given to us. This is the generation of them that seek the Lord, that seek thy face. It's true for every one of us. None of us must think that there is a shortcut to the hill of the Lord. There's no shortcut to heaven. Our salvation has been bought, but we are to set out, all of us, on that journey of faith, the journey of sanctification, that journey which is the rest of our lives. And then we've got verses 7 to 10, which both verse 7 and verse 9 start with the refrain, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." It's a rather lovely picture of these strong, everlasting doors that will be there forever. The gate of heaven that Christ ascended into, having made captivity captive. He was the firstborn of the sons of men, the firstfruits of them that will inherit salvation. Christ has won the victory, has opened the way for us to go, has opened the gate of heaven. But there's also a secondary meaning here, isn't there? The doors of our hearts, our bodies, our temples of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus stands outside and he knocks, just as maybe in this psalm, he's knocking at the gates, the everlasting gates. He's knocking, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Do we see? When we hear the Lord's voice, do we react as the psalmist? Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. When the Lord knocks on the gates of our heart, that's what he's asking. That's how he is announced. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Lord mighty in battle. He's won the victory over the devil for your soul and for my soul. He's paid the ransom price. He wants to come in. What's our response? Will we fling open the doors of our hearts to let him in? Or do we, like fools, seal up the city, like they did at Jericho, only for it to be destroyed forever? Well, that's the challenge for every person, isn't it? "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, O ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. It's wonderful to know the power in which he comes. The Lord of hosts. He brings his angelic hosts with him. And we know that the angels have been appointed to serve those, to minister to those who will inherit salvation. We know that from Hebrews 1. Verse 14, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" That is the hosts that the Lord comes with. And he comes with those hosts to every believer. I hope we are encouraged that what we've done as believers is to fling open our hearts to this King of glory. Amen.